In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them, and there were many lying in the valley, and they were all very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there was sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And I prophesied, and he, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord, the word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your world is my hope. O Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption. A reading from Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus after having heard that Lazarus was ill. He stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her, because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We know that life can be overwhelming. And I think at times we use those very words to describe it. For example, we might say that a conflict between Russia and Ukraine that's unfolding, we might say it is deepening. There are times in our lives where ourselves, or maybe our friends and family, we'd say they're deeply depressed at the moment. When a loved one dies, we might say we're now overcome with grief. During a particular season, we might say, I've come down with the flu. Ever feel like it's been hard at times just to get up, to get out? Maybe it's the weather, maybe it's things going on in your life, but you just feel weighed down. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Those first two verses in Psalm 130 that we heard today speaks to the human experience. We know that the depths from which we cry out to God is much more than a metaphor. We know that space all too well. And when we look at our first lesson from Ezekiel, we might feel in those times when we are weighed down, when we're overwhelmed and overcome, crying out of the depths to God that we're just a pile of dry bones, pleading and longing for restoration of life. And when we feel at times in our life when we're just cut off from the land of the living, so to speak, when we're overwhelmed and weighed down, we too might wonder if these bones of ours can live. Yet God promises life-giving breath. Yet out of the depths that we find ourselves in, it can be hard to believe that there is life-giving breath that can renew us. And it's also important to note that in our first lesson from Ezekiel, it's not about a single person, but an entire community. As we heard these words, then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And then later says, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. Perhaps we can also reflect on our collective dry bones as Christians in North America. Do we long for a spirit of renewal? Now, I would contend that it doesn't matter what expression of Christianity one adheres to. Our communities have all seen the depth of division, the deepening of decline,
and wondering if this house, known as the churches in North America, can live as it once did. Perhaps that isn't the proper longing and prayer, to live as we once did. But all across the ideological spectrum, Christianity has found ways to shun and alienate, to gatekeep, and then to see ourselves exceptional in our own way, which puts us on the hook in that confession that we hear in Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? None of us have a leg to stand on, individually and collectively. None of us have a leg to stand on when it comes to our failure to invite and welcome people into the communion with the life-giving God, the living God. Now, our gospel lesson from John points us to the new life that we have in Jesus. And Mary and Martha find themselves overcome with grief at the death of their brother Lazarus. It is out of the depth of that grief they cry out to Jesus. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. I have shared with you many times that that has been a phrase that I've uttered in my own prayer life to God. If you had been here, Lord. I believe I've even shared in the past that this gospel lesson was the lesson that we used for my mother's funeral. Because we see the grief of not only Mary and Martha, but also Jesus. And the hope for new life. Now, in John's gospel, Jesus has seven signs. This is the seventh. Perhaps that weeping, perhaps the depth of the grief that Mary and Martha points us to, they point us to a time where God will wipe away every tear and swallow up death forever. And there may be some foreshadowing here in the difference between what's happening to Lazarus and what will happen to Jesus. Notice in chapter 11, verse 34 today, Jesus says, "Where have you laid him?" When Mary Magdalene is at Jesus' tomb and he's resurrected, she asks, "Tell me, where have you laid him?" For Lazarus, the burial cloths still cling to him. When Jesus is raised, the burial cloths are left in the tomb and the face cloths are rolled up. For Lazarus, death is denied, but he will die again. For Jesus, death is overcome. Now we hear today that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we are the body of Christ in the world. Jesus is also conveying to us that we are invited to participate in this new life that is broken into the world through the resurrection of our Lord. Notice that Jesus invites people to move the stone from Lazarus' tomb. Notice that he invites people to unbind him and let him go. Life can be overwhelming. But we are not alone. God is with us and God gives us a community to care for us. I recently read this statement on Twitter. We talked in previous weeks about revivals and such. This person said, "Why is it that revival and the sudden outpouring of the Holy Spirit are only used for worship services and never describe things like fighting injustice and caring for the poor? I feel like the prophets in the early church would be confused by this." They would be very confused by it. A revival and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not just about us. Contrary to what many Americans do with spirituality by making it a self-centered enterprise, the whole household of God is impacted. And when the whole household of God is impacted, we don't contain it to ourselves, but we go out and we share that love with other people. In a couple weeks, we will rejoice in hearing the good news that a crucified man lives. And in taking our baptism seriously, we know that God's Spirit never leaves us. Out of the depths, we cry out throughout our entire lives, but we see light at the end of the tunnel. We know that God hears our cry and is with us. Like the psalmist, our soul waits for the Lord, and our hope is in the Lord, whose steadfast love gives to us our redemption. Beloved children of God, overwhelmed, we are not alone. And when others cry out from the depths of their distress, we assure them that they are not alone. For the Spirit of God sends us out to remove the stones that entomb people and to unbind people from whatever is holding them captive. As God's holy people, filled with new life by the Spirit, we wait for the morning with hope. We know the sun will rise. We also know that God's Son has risen. We do not engage this world with hopeless resignation, but filled with hope in the promise of the resurrection, that we become God's signs of God's kingdom, pointing to the one who is the resurrection and the life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
What we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the Church, the world, and all creation. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You have breathed into us the breath of life, and live in your church, deepen our partnerships with your companion churches around the globe, and bless the work of missionaries who accompany them. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Your Spirit brings life to creation. Enliven the natural world and restore ecosystems in need of healing. Uplift prophetic voices that turn us to the needs of the soil beneath our feet and the air all around. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You redeem the world and its peoples. Free us from systems of oppression. Unbind nations and societies from the sin of the discrimination. Raise up leaders at all levels of government who work to promote dignity of every human life. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You weep when we weep. Be present with those who grieve or who are troubled by illness, especially Pam, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Scott, Connie, Donna, Carol, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, the family of Jim Rohrman, John, the family of Michelle Schauser, Kelly, Carol, and our homebound. You hear us when we call you, deliver us from the depths of our despair, and free us from the worries that bind us. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You are the Spirit of life that dwells in our assembly. Bless the music ministries of this congregation and all who lead us in hymns of praise and thanksgiving and songs of lament and prayer. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You are the resurrection and the life. Even though we die, we will live. With thanksgiving, we remember all your saints who now live in your eternal love. Merciful God,
we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with
you. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Peace be with you.
Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with the words of grace and life. Bless us these with your gifts, which we receive from your bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness, the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite our communion assistants and those participating in Children's Church to come forward. Distribution of the sacrament, we'll be kneeling around the altar. Ushers will release you forward. And as you're kneeling around the altar, I'll give you the consecrated host. And you'll dip it into either the chalice of consecrated wine or grape juice. It's a method known as intinction. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Please rise as you're able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms the making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.